all our hopes have come to be. Some people gather around, and they have all they can bring. Now, this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. And yes, we do play music on Air America. We just wait until Sunday to do it. And this week, well, you know what the deal is around here, right? We invite friends in to play the music that they're listening to, or they think we ought to be listening to, or something. I'm not sure. I think I've created a monster with this format, because it sort of freaks people out. And I have to apologize in this case, because this is an old friend. Our guest tonight is Roseanne Cash. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
This is going to be fun.
I did get a little nervous about this list.
It's so weird.
It affected my self-esteem, I have to say, putting together a list.
It's a strange thing, because, you know, it's that old thing. I think it started around the time that, you know, in the 80s when both of us started making records, the idea of a desert island list.
Yes.
You know, every journalist that you talk to, every magazine. And I think that's what people think that it is. It's like, oh God, did I remember to put Eggs on Main Street on there? Everybody will think I'm
right. Yeah. Which Beatles record do you choose?
I know.
Right?
It's
just not fair. Can you choose anthologies? Can you choose box sets?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is going to be fun, and we are about music, so we got to get this going. I was glad to see this song. I think I've already played this track on the show at one point when the record came out, but this is a friend of mine and who was in one of my very favorite bands, a band called Soul Coughing. And you got to set it up. You're the DJ.
Well, I chose this song because subversiveness and sexiness, when they're put together, is my absolute favorite combo. And this is a really subversive and sexy song.
This is Mike Dowdy on Air America Radio.
It will always be the end of time. The end of the law, the end of life. The dogs will howl and yank the leash from tree to tree, from each to each. Stop. Starbucks, son. Busting up a Starbucks. 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 Busting up a Starbucks.
I guess we know who's not going to be the featured artist at Starbucks this month.
But, God bless him, right?
Yeah, Mike Dowdy on Air America Radio, busting up a Starbucks. That's a really good record. He sort of went through a period where, you know, with Soul Coughing, which is, Soul Coughing was all sort of, for people that hadn't heard the band, was it was really cool. It was high-tech, you know, lo-fi live music, you know, but it was still based on sampling. Basically, what they did was hooked up samples and triggered them, you know, with an old S-1000 Akai sampler, but it was done live, you know, with a keyboard. The samples were all made up in advance, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of hip-hop theory applied to a live rock band performing, which I thought was one of the coolest things I ever saw.
Inventive,
and,
right.
Chris Christopherson. We are brought to you by New West Records, and so I get a chance to make that plug because Chris is recording for New West these days, and he's made a really, really great record. You know, I am in a Chris Christopherson song.
Oh, it's on This Old Road, right?
Yeah. I am, which blows my mind.
Yes, you're in
it's
the
me,
pantheon.
It's me and John Trudell.
You're in the pantheon of greatness now, Steve.
I was pretty, you know.
It's
a humbling thing, trust me. You do what I do for a living. So.
Well, he's one of the great guys left who has the integrity and the courage of his convictions, and he's passionate, and he's still writing amazing songs, and he just turned 70 years old.
Yeah, he was here in New York and went down to the show. I guess it was the Center for Ethical Culture, whatever, is that the name of that
venue? Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was really great. And then he got on the bus and went to Philly, and it was cool. It was just him.
I played with him in Philly.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
We played
a show together. It was awesome.
We spent some time on a bus together out promoting a John Sayles movie right before the election. And it was cool because I didn't get the only time I spent with Chris was, I guess, you know, in the last, because he's in Hawaii now, so
yeah.
So there was that time, that week, and then actually the Cash Memorial in Nashville, we spent whole evening together, shared a dressing room for
he
that.
He and my dad were like brothers for so many years that I still feel some of my dad's presence when I'm around Chris, which
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, well, he was gone. That was one of my biggest disappointments, was realizing that he was just gone by the time I got to Nashville, because I got there in November of 74. And, you know, my connection to, I got out to House of Cash a couple of times hanging out with Guy Clark during that period. But the gulf between Hendersonville and Nashville had gotten pretty broad by the time I got there, just a couple of years earlier, and things would have been completely different.
Right.
This is Chris Christopherson,
This Old Road.
Look at that old photograph. Is it really you? Smiling like a baby for a dream. Smiling ain't so easy now. Summer coming true. Nothing simple as it seems. Long way, you come a long way.
looking at a looking glass, running out of time on a face we used to know. Traces of a future lost in between the lines.
That's Chris Christopherson. This is Steve Earle. You're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records.
Look at that old photograph. Is it really you?
Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. And our guest this week is Roseanne Cash. And Mavis Staples has been out there the last couple of years. It's been really great to see her. I've bumped into her about three different festivals, I think, in the last two summers.
I have, too. I bumped into her a couple times, and I worked with her once on that Dave Letterman anniversary special.
Wow.
We were, me, Mavis, Chrissy Hine, Emmy Lou, Michelle Schacht, and Carole King were the backup singers for Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. I heard about it. Yeah. I was out of the country, but I heard about
that,
it.
That's when I met Mavis for the first time. I just worship her. I just think she's one of the greatest singers in the world.
I met her under the weirdest conditions in the world. It was actually probably 4 years ago, maybe five. There used to be this really weird festival in England called Bishopstock, and it was run by this lunatic woman who had married into this family with a lot of money that had basically the bishop's old estate in Exeter, which you know, is supposed to have tunnels that go to the cathedral out of it. And these people were really weird. The guy, the husband finally decided too much money was being spent on it and shut it down. But he, you know, he had a portrait of himself as Henry VIII hanging in the stairwell.
That's a little weird.
It was the weirdest place I've ever been. But they had this festival that they put on, had to have lost millions of dollars every year because they paid us way too much money and they fed everybody really good and they were all
like, I love those kind of festivals.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those things that was sort of, it was a little creepy though. It was like a financial pleasure, as Kinky Friedman says, but it's kind of made you wonder if you weren't paying a price for it.
A karmic price somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
But Mavis was on the show.
Mavis was incredible, and she was incredible. Uh-huh. And that was the first time I became aware that she was, you know, she was really out there, you know, playing it.
She's awesome.
She's doing it. Now, this is a great Staple Singers track. And why this one?
It makes me feel like I've got religion when I listen to this record.
Wait
Singers on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records on Air America Radio. You're listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. Our guest this week is Roseanne Cash. And Ray Price, you know, where I come from, is pretty musically important. I mean, yeah, for a lot of reasons. You know, I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and your mom was from San Antonio, right?
Well, that's so interesting you bring that up, because that's why I chose this song, this Ray Price song, because my mother worshipped Ray Price, and I've really been missing my mom lately. She died last year. And so when I was picking out this song list and I saw Ray Price and, you know, thought of her and thought, oh, I got to play this one for mom. She was from San Antonio like you were, and that whole kind of shuffle...
There's a whole part of country music that sort of went off on its own tangent. Yeah. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I think a lot of it's Western swing and the fact that Bob Wills was so big there. So the dance halls were there. And there's also the fact that, you know, this is occupied Mexico that we're talking about. and there is.
Yeah, baby.
There's, I mean, and, you know, Johnny Bush and Daryl McCall. I mean, Johnny Bush wrote Whiskey River, which most people associate with Willie Nelson. Right. And, you know, that's where Willie ran to when he finally kind of, you know, backed himself into a corner in Nashville and went back to Texas in the 70s. And I was sort of living in this world where I had long hair, but I had cowboy boots and I got beat up a lot. And then Willie moved back to Texas and I quit getting beat up. And so he's like one of the reasons.
This explains so much,
but,
Steve.
But, oh, yeah, absolutely. Ray Price, Willie Nelson, Johnny Bush, Roger Miller.
She loved Roger Miller.
All of these guys, they have Daryl McCall.
Would Marty Robbins be in
what,
that?
No,
not
Marty,
really.
Not because, only because these guys, what they have, they were all Cherokee Cowboys at one point. They were all in Ray Price's band.
Wow.
At one point.
Did
in fact, Willie's famous among musicians, you know, that I grew up around, that I probably shouldn't have been hanging out with as young as I was. for shooting one of Ray Price's prize fighting chickens on the bus because it would crow every morning and wake Willie up, and they were coming up from McAllen.
Is that an apocryphal road story?
He shot Ray Price's fighting cock somewhere on, U.S. 81 coming up from the valley.
This could make a sitcom or something.
I don't give that. But this is the Ray Price Shuffle. This is what it's all about. This is Ray Price on Air America Radio, Heartaches by the Numbers. That's so cool to get to play Ray Price on Air America Radio.
I was just thinking that will never happen again.
No, I promise you it'll happen. Well, unless, they run me off of here. But, it had to come up. I'm surprised it took me this long to get around to it. That's a huge, huge part of, where I come from musically. Because it was very cool country music. It goes back to, and it goes into the future, like Willie Nelson, when he came back, all sorts of things. I replaced B. Spears. Who played, bass.
Oh, I knew B, definitely.
He still plays bass for Willie Nelson, but I replaced B. Spears and George Chambers and the Country Gentleman as bass player when B. went to work for Waylon Jennings, and then 6 months later went to work for Willie. So it's like we went to different schools together, kind of.
My best B. Spears story is that he called at midnight one night. I was with Rodney, and we were already asleep in bed, and he said, I want to come over and barbecue. I said, well, we don't have a barbecue grill. Don't worry, I'll bring one. Showed up at 2 a.m. with the kit, built the barbecue pit, cooked barbecue. We were up all night.
Yeah, I hung out with B during the, he broke out in the case of art and decided to quit working for Willie and go to work for Guy Clark. And it took him about 3 months to figure out that he couldn't afford to fly to Vegas and see his girlfriend anymore. And I was with him when he made the call into Willie and said, Willie, I want my job back. And he said, okay, well, just meet us in Las Vegas tomorrow. And he's like, He's like, well, what about, he hired Chris Etheridge by that time. And he goes, what about Chris? He goes, we got two drummers. We'll have two bass players too. And they did have two drummers and two bass players for 6 months.
Oh my God.
Swear to God. But, I don't know. It's all this stuff connects together. The Spencer Davis Group. If you learn to play guitar where I learned to play guitar, then you learned two of the first songs you learned were Give Me Some Lovin' and I'm a Man.
Give Me Some Lovin' and a Carter Family song, actually. That's the first two
really?
I learned. Yeah.
Cool.
So that kind of sums it up for me, you know, the Appalachian stuff, the deep country stuff, and the stuff like Ray Price that my mother listened to all the time. And then because I grew up in Southern California listening to Buffalo Springfield and Spencer Davis Group, you know, this record was huge for me.
This is the Spencer Davis Group on Air America Radio. Davis Group on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records. Listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. Our guest this week is Roseanne Cash, and you have a new record out, and it's really, really amazing. I mean, you've made some great records, but this is, I guess every once in a while, when you do this for a living, you run into, you know, a better reason than your average reasons for making a record.
Yeah. Well, it's like Rilke said, you know, art born of necessity is the best kind. And I felt like that making this record, writing these songs, that they had a compelling quality to them that really I couldn't deny, and that I'll never make this record again or a similar record. And it was of a time of my life and about, you know, losing so many people in such a short period of time that these songs were, they had their own quantum force to them, you know. They were not chosen. They just kind of came through.
Right. And I think, you know, there's this thing of, loss is it's been, you know, at the center of art from the beginning. It's a way of you know, making, and for us, you know, when we do it for a living, it's you know, one of the ways that people you know, deal with loss is to create something out of it.
That's
to make
smart.
Something new out of something that's gone away.
Well, and you know, pop music has not been so amenable to those kind of expressions, particularly in modern times. But I went to this show in Paris last November at the Grand Palais. It was called Melancholie, and it was 800 years of art about grief, madness, all kinds of despair, distress. It was,
right.
You know, you would think that that kind of show would be, it was room upon room upon room, 800 years of this kind of art. It was the most liberating piece of work I've ever seen,
well,
most liberating show.
Country music was, that one of the cool things about it is when it was still marginalized, you know, we got away with more.
That's right.
The more commercial and the bigger country music, and I've been around for a lot of, you know, sort of supernova periods in country music. I got there in the mid-70s, and mm-hmm. for a while there were sort of a commercial for CB radio, and they were already telling me by 1974, you need something up-tempo and positive. And,
right.
and that just seemed like, it took me about a year to figure out that Long Black Veil would never fly. I'd never be able to get that song cut if I'd written it.
Oh, man, there's so many songs. Like the entire Carter Family catalog,
yeah.
you know, Banks of the Ohio, the murder ballads, the ballads about...
Which what we're saying here, when you're talking about the Carter Family catalog, you're talking about the very beginnings of commercial country music.
Right.
The idea of country music as a business begins with the Carter Family.
That's
it's one of the few places where we can trace it to that. When you get a chance to do this, though, it's a drag to... I don't know how anybody that was related to Johnny Cash dealt with it, because I know I was backstage at a festival in Spain. It was like me and Iggy Pop and the Cramps and Jayhawks. And it's, you know, Spanish festival. So the headliner goes on at 1:30 in the morning. And I had played the night before, and the Ig is getting ready to go on. And what we're talking about, we heard that John was gone. And this is like, you know, halfway around the world at a rock festival at 1:30 in the morning. It stopped backstage area absolutely in its tracks.
Well, yeah, a lot of that went on. And, you know, it was a difficult thing to straddle my private grief and dealing with how the world wanted to process
right.
the loss of my father.
Right.
And a lot of people, strangers, wanted to process their feeling of the loss of my father with me. Well,
right.
and I was not available for that. So in a way, it made me stronger. It really did.
Yeah.
You know, you get an even kind of firmer distinction of what's private and what's public. But like you said, you know, great art. I mean, I'm not calling my own record great art, but great art does come out of this kind of cataclysms of experience. And for myself, it was cataclysmic loss. I lost my father, my mother, my stepmother, my stepsister, two aunts, my godfather in 2 years' time. And this record came out of it, and I think it's my best work, you know, and thank God I'll never have to make it again.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know, I've got a couple of records like that, but there's no way I'm ever, you
not
know,
going back there.
It's like, I'm glad they're records, so I don't have to go through it again. There is a record of it. That's why they call them records in the first place.
Right.
We're going to play something from an earlier record of yours, which I managed to get involved in.
Did you know why I called you to sing on this? Because I didn't want anybody pretty on it. I didn't want a pretty boy's voice on it. I needed
right.
somebody who had some real substance and soul, and you were the first person that came to
mind.
Well,
it was cool because I kind of got to be Barry White. This is one of my favorite recording sessions I've ever been on. This is Roseanne Cash
and Steve Earle
on Air America Radio.
I'll change for you.
Roseanne Cash on Air America Radio, and I am in there.
Yes, you are indeed.
I really love doing that. This has been a gas. Thanks for coming.
It's my pleasure. I loved it.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records, and good night.